Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless.
Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. I have to say, it was awesome seeing all the children up here. It actually really feels empty now and lifeless. I like the energy that lots of children bring. I want to start this morning by reading about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And we're going to read the version of the story found in Mark, which is one of the lectionary texts for today. So I'm going to read Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found the colt outside in the street and tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When Jesus brought the colt, or when they had brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And that was Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, where the king would come to receive his crown. Now, he came riding on a colt. Specifically, we hear in the other Gospels that it was a donkey, a young donkey. And that's a sign of a king coming in peace, right? If Jesus would have come on a horse, it would have been a sign of a conquering king, of a warring king. But Jesus did not come to overthrow Jerusalem by the sword. He came fulfilling the prophecy found in Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to all the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Jesus came subverting the idea of what it means to be a king. He's not a king that came to bring war, but a king that came to end war, to bring peace to all the nations, and to establish a different sort of rule. Now, I would like to spend some more time on this, but here's the thing. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter. And so a person can go straight from the triumphant entry to the resurrection, especially if you skip the Good Friday service. All right? But the church... not our church, the church. The church recognized this problem whenever they created the church calendar of formalizing different holy days and Bible readings that go along with it. And they decided this Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, should be Palm Sunday. But they also thought that this Sunday, since it's, you know, Sunday is the day of our communal worship, this day, as well as being Palm Sunday, should also be another holy day. So it's like a double holy day. To recognize Jesus' passion. Passion, in this case, it's a religious word. It means Jesus' crucifixion. So today is not just Palm Sunday, but it's also Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday, where we read about and proclaim the crucifixion of Jesus. Because we cannot skip over the cross. If the triumphant entry is Jesus subverting what it means to be king, you know, coming in peace rather than war, then the cross is Jesus' subversion of the kingly coronation. It's the Messiah claiming his throne, And that throne is unlike any other. Recently, the world watched the crowning of a king. Last May, Prince Charles was crowned as King of the United Kingdom, and his formal title is longer than that, ruler of the Commonwealth and blah, 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 blah. But on May 6, 2023, there's a formal ceremony that marked Charles as the king. And there was a long and elaborate ritual for his coronation. The king was presented before his people to be recognized. He was anointed, right? He was marked with special oils and clothed with special garments and crowned. And then he moved up to the throne. So he took some steps up because the throne, because he had his like seat before, and then he had this seat, his throne. And so he had to move up a couple steps, and then the people swear their allegiance to him. And when you read the Passion narrative, all those elements are there. But instead of giving homage and respect, there's degradation and desecration. Because this is the king of a fallen world. And in this fallen world, it's the first that will be last, and the last that will be first. And so with that, I want to read the Passion narrative from Mark, which is also the lectionary text. And it really doesn't need any commentary. The force of the story is long enough, but I'll offer a few reflections after you read through it. And so this is Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Very early in the morning, the chief priest with the elders and the teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked them, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of his self-interest that the chief priest handed them over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. They shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Right, that's the recognition. That's the recognition. And so we move on to the anointing. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, and that is the praetorium. And he called together the whole company of soldiers, and they put a purple robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him as he moves towards his throne. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on the way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take them, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." He crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. And now, this is when the people swear allegiance and pay homage to the king. Those who passed by him hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults upon him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Well, this is the king. This was his coronation. And this is what the coronation of the king of a broken world looks like, because we live in an upside down world. And Christ is the king of that world, right? He's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. And this is how he does it. He bears the sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become righteous. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. This is the depth of God's love for us. This is the plan for creation's reconciliation with its creator, to take the shame of the cross upon himself. And the cross, it was considered the ultimate shameful death. It's not just a way to kill a person. It's designed as a way to humiliate them before all the people. Right? It served as a warning to others and a demonstration of the power and authority of Rome. Citizens couldn't even be killed in this manner. So it's only for traitors. And for the Jewish population, they had other ways of dealing with death. Stoning was the way that they most commonly carried out the death penalty, right? They threw rocks at people. But to hang someone publicly was to demonstrate the extreme shame of the offense. There's a way to let all the offenders know that all the people know that the offender was cursed by God. And wasn't that the cry of Jesus on the cross? "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have they forsaken me? This is what bearing the sins of the world means. Because the ultimate result of sin is separation from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Christ bore that separation. Christ knows what it feels like to feel abandoned by God, because he was. Right? We sing one of the songs, right? The Father turns his face away. And this is an ugly story. An ugly, ugly story. Because it's the story of Jesus taking the ugliness of creation, all of the brokenness, all of the heartache, all of the oppression and injustice, all of the wanton violence and exploitation, all of the deceits and lies, and all of the sins done to us and by us. Jesus bears it all. Right? The weight of all of this, it darkened the skies and made the earth shake. Right? It tore the veil of the temple and it separated the world from the Holy of Holies. Right? It tore that veil. And this is the crowning of the King we worship. The one in whom our faith is built. The one who bids us to come and follow him. Not into battle and glory, not into conquest and domination, but into humility and death. I think sometimes we miss that fact. You know, we like to celebrate. We're so keen on celebrating. But Jesus calls us to take up the cross and to follow him. And if this was a normal story, that would be the end. Right? The end, the tragic end for a tragic man. But this is not a normal story. This is not a normal story. And Jesus was not just a man. So there's more to the story. The story goes deeper. The story is richer. And I know there's lots of things we can say about this. You know, we can talk about, oh, look, there's the man that Jesus substituted himself for, Barabbas, who got set free. You know, we can go into all those little details, and those are good things to study. But I think sometimes we try to take stories like this and we just dissect them until we suck all the meaning out of it and all the heart out of it. So I just want to leave that as it is. And next week we'll hear more of the story and we'll get to hear the end. Curtis, can you come up to lead us in our last song?